Officer said he recognized my voice, and I thought so do about 3,000 other people, because I can't do any good. They know who's talking. One time, I think I've told you this, one time after being here is the while that I've been, I guess I must repeat sometimes. But I worked with a man by the name of Gillespie. He died. He lived over yonder in, can't think of it now, doesn't matter, north of Lewisburg, quite a little ways. And he died. And he worked for the state, and I worked for the state, and Delbert and I had worked together. So we went to the funeral way up yonder. And that, he was buried in the church because he laid the church sidewalks, he painted the church, he fired the church furnace, he cut the grass, he kept the cemetery up, he did everything. I went, Uni was with me, we went to that funeral, and that preacher stood up and read from the Psalms and made a few comments and never mentioned the man's name. And going out, I was talking to Unibel. I said, this is the most pitiful thing I've ever seen in my life. That a man can live in a community all of his life and take care of the church and then have a preacher get up and not even know that he was dead. And it irritated me. I said, I could bury a town drunk and say more about him than he said about Delbert. So a fella down there, a real wimpy sort of person that had bangs, you know, he came up and took a hold of my elbow and said, Earl, you learned to whisper in a sawmill. Well, I reckon everybody heard it, and I don't care. I heard the Commissioner of Agriculture standing out there shaking that preacher's hand and telling him what a wonderful sermon that was. That just gagged me. But you know, this thing that Walter's talking about, what is the gospel? And I'm not going to talk about that, Walter. But I'm going to turn to Romans 9. And you know the passage, you know the chapter well, you know the passage well, and I have no hope of saying anything that would be termed new. Romans 9, verse 21 through 23. Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That ought to be marked. Vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory. You know, it's a strange thing when men just turn aside from God, his word, and from his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and from the work of the Holy Spirit in this world today. It boggles my mind. I said to Unibel last night, with all of these tornadoes and all of this going on, you know, and 383 tornadoes out there in Tornado Alley since the 1st of May. Now, believe me, if that happened to Raleigh County, I wouldn't be here next Sunday. I've seen enough of those things to last me my lifetime, what's the remains of it. But, you know, they cannot comprehend. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He can't. But this statement in verse 21, let me see if I'm right. That's an amazing statement. That is an amazing statement. The potter hath power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. That's talking about the human race, of the same lump. And One of the first things I thought about when Walter started to talk this morning was the fact that God, before the first clock ever ticked, before the first star ever shone, when there was no one but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, that God Almighty purposed to have a people, even before Adam was created. He purposed to have a people. And that leads me off into areas where sometimes I think I ought not to go. In Adam's sin, in the fall, that purpose was being carried out. It was not an accident. It didn't come as a surprise to God. Well, you're making God the author of sin. Well, deal with it. But I'm not. I'm not at all. And the religion of this world, or even those with no religion at all, scoff and kick and rebel at the thought of God's sovereignty in all things. Now, if you want trouble, that's it. Now, that's where all of, and God's people are an afflicted people. I expect we ought to be used to it by this time. If it's not the insurance policy, Roy, it'll be something else. But God's people come out of much tribulation. And these who kick and rebel at the thought of God's sovereignty in all things, but they never look at the revelation of God in this book. They have no basis for their unbelief except man's own self-confidence and self-esteem. Pride. And self-confidence, and I said it coming over here this morning, self-confidence, and you hear it preached in school, you hear it preached in churches, you hear it preached in businesses, in business training classes, David, self-confidence, self-confidence. Self-confidence is nothing more than the snare of the devil. To have confidence in self is to disown the sovereignty of God. I mentioned some old silly song, but from back in the 40s. They feel in themselves just like this old silly song that the world sang. I can do anything that you can do better. I can do better. What is it, David? I can do better.
Anything you can do.
I can do better.
I can do anything better than you.
Anything better than you. That's what they think about God. That's right. They want control. And while there are millions and millions across the face of this earth that have no concept of who Almighty God is, the Buddhist who's kneeling with incense before his idols and clapping his hands to wake up God has no concept of who God is. None at all. The Muslim who will run an airplane into the Twin Towers, or two airplanes, and will strap bombs around his body, has no concept of who God is. They have a word they use, the Muslims do, Inshallah. I'm going to tell you what that means. That means if God wills. And it follows everything they say. And that people are impressed by that. But it has no meaning. It has no meaning. The Muslim follows steps of fatalism. We follow in the path of faith because we believe God. I'm going to see quickly God's revelation. That's what he says here. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. God is giving a revelation of himself. That he might make known. And I can say this, without this revelation, darkness and confusion and ignorance and error are in full power. The Philippian jailer, when Paul went into that prison, was very happy to do Caesar's will, wasn't he? Whipped him, had him whipped, put him in there. And that night, Paul and Silas were singing songs. And you know what they were singing? They were singing the old Psalms out of the Old Testament. And the angel of the Lord, unseen, so far as I know, and your modernist says, well, that was an earthquake. Well, I don't care what it was. The doors of the prison flew open. All God has to do to cause an earthquake is blink. Just wink. And the earthquake comes. And all of the glories of man lays in a heap of rubble in less than a minute. And with all of this going on in the world today, I said to you last night or this morning or sometime or other, I don't know how people live without a conscious faith in the power of God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. I don't know how they exist today. But that he might make known is his statement. God is making known. He's giving revelations. Because God's will is to have a people. That's his purpose. And everybody quotes Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called, them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. But they leave that off. All things work together for good to them that love God. Somebody just had a car wreck. All things work together for good. You might have been killed a mile on down the road. That type of stuff. That borders on superstition. That borders on superstition. His will is to have a people eternally loved. Those people were loved before the foundations of the world. But those people fell in Adam. Yeah. You know that?
Yeah.
Stop and think of it. Those people fell in Adam. From a state of perfection and fellowship with God, we fell into sin and suffering and sorrow. All because God had been determined to save by grace. See, Adam was created by fiat. God said, let us create man in our own image. So in the image of God created he them. That was divine decree. How then was that creature to know anything about God? How was that creature to know anything about his grace? How was he to know anything about his love? How was he to, you know, the angels worship God continually, but they weren't enough. God wanted this creature to worship him. And he determined, out of this mass that have fallen, to save by his grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ, quicken them, save them, quicken them by the gift of life from the Spirit of God himself. Now, that thing that Walter said this morning about being a child of God and never knowing it, that just makes me shiver. But in decreeing that he was to have a people and that that people would worship him in spirit and in truth through the gift of life, he's going to bring them into the place of experience and enjoyment of that, the knowing of that. Read through the first John, and mark in your Bibles every place it says "we know," and take it to heart. Well, you say, "Preacher, I don't know." Well, then it's time to make your calling and election sure, because if you believe God, you know.
Sure.
Well, you say, look at me. No, look at Christ.
Right.
Look at Christ. Look at his shed blood. Well, I believe Christ. Inasmuch as I'm able, then rest assured.
Mm-hmm.
Rest assured that experience is a reality, and then enjoy that which God has given. John writes these words: "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." Truly our fellowship is with God the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. What's the reason? That he might make known the riches of his glory in the vessels of mercy.
Yeah.
Well, now that doesn't mean you've got to go around with a painted grin on your face all the time. If that's the case, then I was lost before I was born. And never made any progress after that. He wills, God wills, to have his Son in fellowship and communion with himself. Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me always. Always. He was in constant communion with the Father. But you know something else? He wills to have his own people in that same kind of communion with the Father. There's a great deal of discussion, and Art Newman Saunders and I have had that discussion time and again, just briefly. You get into this matter of prayer. People are so confused. They think if they had a million people online, Walter, you know what I'm talking about. That a million people were going to pray one day for the war in Iraq, not to go over there, that it wouldn't happen. What does it matter whether a million people pray or one person prays? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Just one. Now, is God heard by our much speaking? And that's so silly. I used to go to prayer meetings. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad I don't go anymore. I was guilty of that. It finally came to the place where nobody prayed except a preacher. No matter what. And when they did, it was almost the same words over and over again. But God's people, and I hope I can get this across, not that you're dumb, but that I'm feel that it's so difficult that you wonder about your success in it. God's people are his creation, created in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul wrote. And the psalmist said, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God, in creating this people, you've heard me say this time and time and again in the last 36 years. This creation, all of them as individuals, are made up of those who have been twice born and once dead. Well, what in the world? You remember Nicodemus' visit to our Lord in John 3? I know you do. And maybe, and like I say, maybe some of you will remember this and maybe some of you won't, but if you don't remember it, I'm glad I'm saying it again. The third chapter of John, and you can begin clear back at verse 3. This man, this Pharisee, came to see Christ in the night. You see, the Pharisee and the Sadducee, I put the Pharisee in the forefront as an enemy of Christ. That's the way the book seems to portray it. The Sadducee's probably standing behind him, sicking him on. This Pharisee came to see Jesus by night. And he said, "Teacher, Master, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Well, that was a compliment, wasn't it? Christ ignored it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "truly, truly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, that doesn't mean that he cannot visually see the kingdom of God. But apart from the new birth, he cannot understand it. You heard people say in an argument, "Well, I just can't see that." Well, he wasn't talking about seeing it with his eyes. He was talking about seeing it in his heart and in his mind. And this is what Christ was talking to Nicodemus about. Nicodemus took it literally. Look at verse 4. "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Look at verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And let me tell you, the flesh and the spirit will never meet on the same ground. And we, all of us, right here this morning, possess both. The flesh and the spirit. That was verse 6. Look at verse 8. Wasn't that verse 6? Now he said to Nicodemus, "Don't be surprised that I tell you that you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." The Spirit is the wind from God. You've read of the Spirit descending on the day of Pentecost in the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now, that doesn't say there was a wind there. It says there was a sound of it. And here, Christ said that wind blows where it wants to, where it listeth. The Holy Spirit can take the wickedest man in the state of West Virginia right now and press upon him the gift of life and invade his soul, and that man becomes a new creature in Christ, no matter what the past was. And for that matter, he did the same thing to you, no matter how, quote, innocent you were, or how, quote, good you were. He had to do the same thing with you and me. The same treatment as though we were the worst person in West Virginia. Christ died for his people. Well, I've got to hurry to close down here, and I've not even got a good start. Look at verse 16. "For God so," this is the favorite, isn't it, of every Arminian conclave in the country. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," I'll just tell you like Henry said long years ago, I'm not concerned about the whosoever. The ones we talk to are the whosoever won't. So if you belong to the whosoever won'ts, we're talking to you. whosoever will, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What's he talking about, the world? He's talking about his elect world. It goes on. My, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Take that message as a comfort. If you're in the midst of doubts and fears, take that as a comfort. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now you know who hates the light. Wants nothing to do with the light. Will make up his own light if necessary.
Yeah.
Neither cometh to the light. What's he talking about? Christ said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever cometh unto me shall not walk in darkness. Whosoever believeth in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Now listen, lest his deeds should be reproved. Lest he be reproved, lest he be criticized, lest he be judged. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Now listen, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. Now, whatever you might say about a child of God, he comes to the light and his deeds are wrought of God. Whether it's for discipline or whether it's for blessing, I don't know. But his deeds are wrought of God. My time is nearly gone. And I haven't got yet to what I want to do. This is the way it is with the new birth. The Holy Spirit of God blows upon one who is dead in trespasses and sin, and he blows sovereignly by the decree of God in the election of grace before the foundation of the world. Now we hear people seeking God. We've heard that for years and years. Well, you ought to seek Christ. You ought to seek God. Man seek God? How can he find him? Man is counseled in modern religion, in modern evangelism. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is yet near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his path. See, let you as the wicked, you do this now. And this will be a sign that you're seeking God. Well, I don't have the time to go into it. But the natural man is so depraved, he's so debased, he's so degraded, that he's able to fool himself, and it's impossible for him in his own strength or in his free will to seek God. The very opposite is true. There is none that seeketh after God. That's what Paul says. None. And we believe that, don't we, Walter? There, after the fall, man hid himself as far away from God as he could get, he and his wife both. And what'd they do? They made themselves aprons out of fig leaves, and they're still doing it. They wanted to cover their nakedness, and they hid. But you know what? Read the account. God came to earth, and he walked in the garden, and he called Adam. He wasn't going to let him go.
Right.
He wasn't going to let him go. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam, I'm interpolating. Adam said, here? What are you doing there? Well, we sort of took a bite of that fruit, and we saw that we were naked, and we hid ourselves. That was it. That was it. But you know something? I'm going to say this right out, whether I be criticized for it or not, doesn't make any difference. Adam was an elect soul. God had created him. God was going to preserve him. You know something? As a believer, you're an elect soul. God created you, and he's going to preserve you.
Yeah.
That calls for gratitude.
Yeah, sure.
That calls for praise. That calls for an interest in what God is doing right in this little place. Now, you know, this thing of hiding from God can be said of the religious as well as the irreligious. But there is none that seeketh after God. Even today, I hear men trying to preach free grace and still are unable to say free grace without making some comment about man's responsibility. My soul. And you know, one person that I know, and I won't mention names, was reading one of Spurgeon's pamphlets one time. And the comment was made, it seems to me like he's on the fence. And the same thing seems like to me. You read one, and it's right down the line. You read another one, and he's beginning to modify what he said the time before. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but that's true. It's impossible to preach the gospel and preach free will at the same time.
Right.
You can't do it.
Right.
To do this it's an affront to God. It's bold defiance before God because it questions the right of Almighty God to do as he will with what belongs to him. The natural man is born to oppose God. His mind is at enmity with God and not subject to the law of God. And what does Paul write in Romans 8:7? Neither indeed can be. It's impossible. Because there must be a revelation of the mind of God and of his will. Now, where is it that we see this revelation? God is pleased to reveal himself and the purpose of his love through Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only beloved hath declared him. That's not correct. That's not the correct. I missed that. But that's all right. You know what I'm saying. He sent the Holy Spirit down into this wilderness that we live in. And it is a wilderness.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of, how many $10 friends have you got? Where you could go up to him and say, hey, let me have $10. And he'd reach in his pocket and give you $10 and keep on talking to the other fella and not even ask you when you're going to give it back or what you want it for. How many you got? Back in the Depression, that was $5, but we're getting close right now. The thing is that he sent his Spirit down into this place of error and superstition. And you know, superstition is rampant. You know what I told you, Annabelle, before we left the house this morning? I said, don't open that umbrella in the house. I heard that all my life. But he came down into this place to seek out his people, and not only to seek them out, but to dwell in them. And he gives them, according to Peter, exceeding great and precious promises and makes them partakers of the divine nature. Makes them partakers of the nature of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He gives to them a spiritual mind and a spiritual understanding. Look at what John says in chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Do we know that? It begins with God's sovereign grace. I'm not through this Sunday at all. It begins with his sovereignty, of his ability to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Now, it's no use to look at the preacher and say, I can't understand that. You can understand it because God has revealed it through Jesus Christ. It's right there. And the only reason a man or a woman doesn't understand it is because they rebel against the truth. Now, that's just the way it is. He's given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, that's Christ, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is it. I mentioned these passages a few moments ago, but look here. Here's what Peter writes, and then I'm done. Grace and peace, this is 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, what was it he said back here in Romans 9? He said something about a revelation, didn't he? And it's just amazing how quickly we can lose sight of that and everything else. And I know the book of Romans is in here somewhere. He says very clearly that he reveals himself, his glory, to his people, through his people, because it's through a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power. How does he do it? By his power, by the power of God. And hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us into glory and virtue. Now either that's true or we don't have any salvation. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be made partakers of the divine nature. That is some expression. This divine nature, now hear it, this divine nature is impeccable. Did you know you have a spotless nature? God's given it to you. Now it may be hidden. And it may not be in evidence all of the time, but it's there. An impeccable nature. That nature is immutable. You remember what immutable is? It's changeless. It'll never be any different than it is, because God has made it so. And that nature is as pure and is as unchanging as Christ himself. Our Father, we're grateful again this morning for your blessing and goodness. And may we see some of that knowledge and some of that understanding manifest itself. We're not asking in any sense of disobedience, but that we might be aware of the fact that it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Bless your people. Their desires to serve thee are real. We pray that you'd lead them on into life everlasting, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Walter, did you get this?